Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Podcast 524. We're going to talk about being unbound in this podcast. And we're going to kick it old school with the portable digital recorder. And I'll tell you why here shortly as we are just about to go into the final pre-flight operational phase of Mobile Podcast Command as we head out to Cleveland, Ohio for the big Republican National Convention to be in the street and to also take a little detour before we head to Cleveland. So I'll talk about that in this podcast, Unbound. Well, there's going to be a lot of talk about Mobile Podcast Command in this podcast because I am getting Mobile Podcast Command ready to roll. It's pretty much go at this point. All we have to do now is the load-in. And, of course, Mobile Podcast Command is a Ford 450 Super Duty diesel monster, and it came from xgovernmentcars.com. And xgovernmentcars.com is announcing the grand reopening of their Golden Valley location at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. Couple of things to remember about xgovernmentcars.com. First of all, if you need a car and you need a loan, if you have a job, you're good to go at X Government Cars. You can get approved. And of course, X Government Cars takes trades. As Ed always says, you need to really pound this, so get ready. I'm going to do it. You ready? Push it, pull it, drag it. They'll take it. The highest values are paid every day without all the bull. I've seen them do it. And don't forget the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at X Government Cars. So here's the deal. Get your butt down to X Government Cars, the grand reopening of the incredible, historic X Government Cars location in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. It's ready to roll. If you want to give them a call, 763-777-8782, 763-777-8782. And yes, I have the bullhorn.
XGovernmentCars.com.
So all week, I have been wanting to record a podcast out here on the deck, and every time I get ready to do a podcast out on the deck, it's either too windy, which is a problem for the studio mics because they're just too sensitive, or, I don't know, some other thing intervenes. I try to go down on the flat by the broadcast bunker, which is underneath the deck. But now we had another storm tonight, so it's really wet, and I can't drag all my stuff out because it's just muddy, basically, over there. So I've been thwarted several times, and so I've been real excited ever since I got my mixer back from Depot Star, because they fixed it. Thank you, guys. My big mixer back from Depot Star, the one I really like. I've just been really enamored of doing my podcast in the studio, and you know, I like to drag the studio mics out and everything else, but I just can't do that when it's wet. Now, I'm in the process of getting Mobile Podcast Command ready to go, which can, you know, involved a lot of stuff this time. Definitely the new front end. So it has new shocks and a tie rod on one side, and it has new tires and a new alignment, and it is like butter. It rides down the road like a 1964 Cadillac. It's fabulous. And so I'm getting ready to go on my big trip. I'm going to head out to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and then down through Detroit. And there, I was a little confused about this trip in terms of where it was. I thought I was going to be able to come down the west coast of Michigan. But that's not going to work going out. So the reason is I don't want to drive all the way across Michigan after whatever. This way, I'll go up through Duluth and over the top of Wisconsin to Mackinac or whatever it's called, Mackinac Island, and then down the east coast of Michigan, down to Detroit, and then on to Cleveland from there. So, and I'm understanding, and, you know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. There's a bunch of stuff running through my mind, and so I wanted to do kind of a walk and talk in the park out by my house with no editing, which is always a challenge for me because I hate it when I say stuff and I sound like an idiot or I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, and it drives me nuts. So I'm going to start with the easy stuff. But we took a trip up to the Upper Peninsula when I was a kid, and I think we went to Ontario. I don't even know why we did, but we went up as I was a kid. Most people who listen to me know that my family, we were big on the big road trips. We would take road trips, even if they were short road trips. And I think they liked to go. You know, we were in Chicago, so going to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan really wasn't a very long trip. So, I mean, it was you know, certainly a lot of time in the car, but it wasn't like going to Florida. So it was an easy trip. And all day I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about how sometimes the things that are the most amazing things are really right under your nose. You don't think about them because they're too close to home. You know, obviously, northern Minnesota is an amazing place. I don't go up there very much because it's too, honestly, people from Minnesota will laugh at this. But it's just too cold most of the time up there. I just can't get warm when I'm up there, and I can't stand that. I have to be, especially in the summer, I'm not going to waste time someplace where I'm freezing. So, unless it's hot, I don't go up there. But I am going to go up through Duluth, and I don't know what time I'm going to leave, whether it's going to be night or what when I go through, but you know, Duluth is one of those places that people want to go, all over the place, and I certainly have, and there's wonderful things to see in the, continental United States, and in Canada. If you're driving, there's all kinds of amazing places that you can go to see things that are amazing, all over the country, and I've reported on them, and I've been in all of them, and the trips I've taken are just, the experience of seeing the breadth of the country and the length of the country is pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. East Coast, West Coast, the South Coast, the Gulf Coast. The only places that I haven't been is I have not been in the Northern Tier. So I haven't been out to the Upper Northwest. I have not been up to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. Duluth or northern Wisconsin, although I've been up there. I just haven't done it for the podcast. And I have not been to New England. So this summer, I'm going to do the Upper Peninsula, and we'll leave New England either to fall or to another time, and then head down to Cleveland. Then after Cleveland, I'm heading back to the air show at Oshkosh, which is, this time I have full press credentials at the air show at Oshkosh, which I've discovered leads to a couple of positives, really cool things. One, I'm going to get into some of the things I was unable to get into the last time I was there, because they didn't know what to do with me. You know, we kind of put it together at the last minute, and Dick Nepinski was at the air show, was very kind to get me into the show and put me into the tower, where I promptly pitched a tent. And I was told this time when I called out there and sent emails, because I think I sent Dick an email in like May, and I said, I don't want to put you in the same position as I did last year, because what I had was an exhibitor's tag from Alpha Systems, and he was like, we can get you in, but it's going to be whatever. So I'm going to be parked in the same spot this year. So I'll be under the tower at Oshkosh. This is one of the premier events in this country every summer. It's an amazing experience on so many levels. And I'll talk all about it when I'm at the air show, obviously, because there's an entrepreneurial side to it. There's also a technology side to it. And increasingly, bigger and bigger companies are getting involved. And there's some consternation about that, because there's still sort of that hard scrabble group that kind of started the Experimental Aircraft Association and started with that air show back in the 70s, where they would work on their planes on the flight line. Now, I'm not an aviator. I just think it's a truly amazing experience, because most of the people there are pilots and are, interested in or work with in some way, shape, or form the aviation industry in this country, which, has so much promise in terms of technology in so many ways, which I will talk about. But the cool thing is, I get to go to the media lounge, which has free food and coffee, which solves a huge problem of mine. Today, I spent all day running around taking care of various things. You know, first I had to get, so I got the new shocks and the new tie rod, and it still wasn't right. It was still shimmying, and the truck wasn't right. And so I called up Dave, mechanic extraordinaire up in Maple Grove, and he said, you just need, did you get the alignment? Yes, I got the alignment. Okay, you need to have the tires balanced and you'll be okay. So I was like, okay, I'll go up to Costco because it's close to my house. So I drove up to Costco, and they took one look at it, and they were like, no, we can't. These tires are so old, you know, forget about it. And I went, well, I got some newer tires in the back, because I had tires I took off the back last year when I got the new tires in the back, and I pulled these old tires out of the back, and the guy was like, the bead's gone, these are, you know, no, this isn't going to work either. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. And I went over to X Government Cars, and Ed was kind enough to order me some new tires for the front. So then I went immediately and picked them up. I didn't want to wait for them to be delivered, because I want to get it done. And then the place I picked it up at, you know, this was up in, where did I go? I went to Fridley. And parts of Fridley are kind of, you know, there's a lot of bait shops, and there's a lot of hail and wind damage to the buildings, and they're kind of shabby up there in Fridley. So I go to this place that I was like, is this place even open? I went in, hey, you know, I'm here to pick up my tires. We can't find them. And then they were like, oh, we got them. And I got a really great price on a pair of great tires. And so that was kind of cool. And then I went over to the other guy's place, the brother's place, and he put the tires on for like $40. So then the last thing I had to do, I took care of today. So many of you, if I mentioned it in one of the podcasts, know that I had an altercation with a concrete barrier in Virginia, and it pushed in one part of the truck. And it wasn't, you know, it certainly wasn't life-threatening, and it wasn't critical, and I could have left it, but it really bugged me. So I took it to a place today in my town, and they pulled it out. They put the truck on the frame machine and pulled the bumper out and got it all set up for $115, and I was really excited about that. So, and then I brought it home and spent the afternoon cleaning. You know, Lysol and ammonia and everything else, cleaning out every little nook and cranny of the inside. You can eat off the floors, and you can eat off the trays in the drug compartment, and you can, you know, it's clean. So I'm super, in fact, this is the craziest thing. So on the side door, when you open it up, there's a metal grating that is designed so that you can, you know, if you step in mud or something, when you step up into the ambulance, you can just, you know, kind of brush your shoes off, and you're not going to track dirt and mud into the truck. Because, you know, obviously paramedics are in and out, you know, on any given day in a situation several times. So they've got this grating so that it catches all of the mud and crap from your shoes before you get in. And it was pretty dirty down there. There was a lot of stuff in this little tray underneath that piece of aluminum. And it's really thick, just sharp aluminum. And I thought, I got to get this out of here and clean this down here. And so I looked at it, and I had to take two pliers and you know, two channel lock pliers, grab hold of this thing and pull it out of there. And so then I started to vacuum the inside of it out. there was a dead mouse in there because there is a drain in this tray with a cover on it, and it was loose, and apparently the mouse pushed it out of the way and got in, but he couldn't get out. So there was a dead mouse in there, and I vacuumed that up and cleaned that whole thing out and put Lysol in it and everything. So it's great to have the vehicle all clean. So that's what I've been doing. And then tomorrow, of course, is the big, I have to produce the Bob Davis podcast radio show. And of course, then after that, you know, the big load in. So that's basically what is going on here at the podcast ranch, is just getting all these pieces together to go on this trip. And I'm very excited to do this. And I'm very excited to go. And I want to talk a little bit about the politics and the tone of politics in this country right now, and I want to you know, kind of do some quick disclaimers for what I have planned for this trip. Well, it's summertime, and summertime can be like doldrum time for some people, and for business, it can be this way. But it's a great time to do some kind of client appreciation effort in the summer. It's a huge challenge for growing businesses to show how much clients are appreciated. Most of the time, it involves taking people to some dinner or on a fishing trip, or you send out promotional stuff, or a boat trip on the lake, which is a Minnesota classic, because we've all done that at some point in our careers, depending on what business we're in or what businesses we own. Or you can try something new. And I mention this because the workforce these days is much more diverse. People have different interests. You know, back in the day when Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle Ed ran the business, you know, they could count the number of clients on one hand and they could go out and do a fishing trip and it was all good. But now you've got all kinds of different people and they may not want to go fishing and they may not really be interested in a boat trip. So why don't you try something new? And this is something that's social, it's memorable, it's different. You can socialize and bond with your clients who are engaged in creating something unique at Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park, where there's plenty of parking. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social setting. First of all, they are event planning ninjas at Brush Studio, so they can hook you up with a great evening. And what happens is an artist guides your clients, the people you've brought with you through this process of painting step by step, and it's really fun. And if you go to brushstudio.net right now, www.brushstudio.net, you'll see, or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, they have video on there that shows how much fun people have. What a great way to bond with your clients. And the thing is, people are amazed at what they can do and what they paint, because it's not paint by numbers. They actually paint a painting, and they're socializing and they're working together, and you, as the owner, the business owner, you've got a chance to get around and talk to all of your people in a really nice, fun atmosphere. There's room for 55 people, plus catering from Crave in the West End, which is really awesome. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection as well. It's a fun, sophisticated way to create a new bonding experience that your clients will never forget, and they're going to love you for it, especially if they hang that painting on their wall in their office because they were amazed at what they could do. Check out brushstudio.net, or you can click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. It takes you to their page, or you can just reach out to them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. I just stepped on, what did I step on? Oh, the tiki torch thing. Brush Studio. I'm doing this podcast not as an afterthought, but I'm doing it quick and dirty because I need to get on to the other things that I have to do to get ready to go. And when I get down to this level where I'm 24 hours out from leaving or whatever, I get just super focused on getting ready to go. And I'm really excited about going. It's the peak of summer. It's the perfect time to go into the Northern Tier. It is the perfect time to travel. I have solved a lot of the problems related to travel that you've often heard about in the podcasts. I don't want to just drive through and do travel logs. I want to stop and talk to people, and so there's enough time to do that. And I'm really excited about going to the Upper Peninsula. The other thing that I've done is, you know, these trips are no longer aimless cruises that I could turn left or right, or I could go around in circles as I did for 2 days in the Delmarva Peninsula, you know, out east, because I was trying to find Wi-Fi. I've solved that problem. I can upload from wherever I am, and it's no issue. But I've learned to do the travel and to be untethered and to be unbound. You have to have hard goals about where you're going to go and where you're going to be on any given day, because you can't just drive around aimlessly. If you don't do that, you will not have a good time, because you need to have a plan. Now, you don't have to follow the plan, but you need to have some kind of a plan about where you're going to go and where you're going to be. So I have that. I know I kind of have an itinerary, and I know where I need to be, and there won't be any aimless driving around Wisconsin or Michigan. And it's possible my son will join me. I'll pick him up in Detroit, and we'll go down to Cleveland together. The plan, once I get to Cleveland, is just to kind of, you know, get near the arena. I've been to two, I've reported live and broadcasted live from two, you know, Republican National Conventions, St. Paul and then Tampa. And the thing that people need to understand about these conventions is that there is a giant steel wall, which basically is impossible to get through. If you want to go into the convention, you have to go through security, and it's a full-on airport security at this at these locations. So the thing that I learned both in Tampa and really with St. Paul is, you know, the broadcasters, they put you on Radio Row. And let me give you, this is because I think it's important that people understand what kind of coverage they're going to get. I don't know how much reporting there is. I mean, one of the things that was really cool is that all, you know, they have a huge room for media. And then all of the big media outlets have a section of the media room, which is gigantic. And they have desks and they have, you know, that's where the reporters kind of go and hang out and try to figure out what they're going to talk about. But for the most part, the Radio Row thing, the stuff that you're going to hear on the radio, is you sit at a, you know, at a table and your equipment is sitting there and your microphones are sitting there. And it's a stream of people who are basically spinners that walk up and down Radio Row. And if Paul Ryan walks in, he'll be trailed by every camera. He'll be trailed by 30 or 40 media people. That includes cameras. And if you are to interview someone like that, if Paul Ryan comes by your table and interviews with you, you know, you're going to have a press of cameras around you while you interview this guy. And then there's the usual collection of Republican, you know, musical artists and TV stars that wander this little area of Radio Row. Because their job is to sit down with the radio guys and tell them what's going on, and it's just all spin. There's no substance to any of that. You're not going to find out very much about what is happening at the convention by listening to the radio stations. And the TV stuff is all around the top of the arena, so they all look down into the arena. And then what happens with the TV stations, the bigger the TV network, then the politicians will visit. And so it's the same thing. It's the Newt Gingriches of the world. It's Paul Ryan, Newt Gingrich, or whoever, and surrogates who will wander around up at that top tier and stop in to see the people that are, you know, reporting from ABC and CBS and Fox and all these other places. Every night now, it's the sirens and the police every night. I don't know where they're going. At the same time, it's like, do they just drive through the town and go, hey, let's turn the siren on. It's 11 o'clock or whatever time it is. Anyway, that's what it is. And what I think is missing is some kind of deeper reporting. Now, I don't have the resources to do deeper reporting necessarily on what's going on at the convention. I've chosen to be out in the street because I think that's where the color is going to be. I think that's where there's going to be some tense moments, perhaps, and I think there's going to be some colorful people out there. And I also want to talk to people who are, I want to talk to Clevelanders. So if you're listening to this and you happen to live in Cleveland, send me an email because I'd like to get with you. I want to talk to people from Cleveland about what they think of all this and what their view of just the attention of the world. When I get out there, I'm going to talk a lot about the history of this region. It's one of the reasons I'm really excited to go from Duluth across the top of Wisconsin, you know, in the Great Lakes region, because that's what it's all about. That's what all of these towns are about, railroads and lakes and industry. And it's referred to as the Rust Belt, but it is the industrial heart of the nation and has been the industrial heart of the nation for many, many, many years. And obviously in recent times with the way manufacturing is and with new technologies and so forth and with comparative advantage, as Jason Lewis and I talked about on the previous podcast, you know, Ohio, Northern Ohio, you know, Gary, Indiana, Northern Indiana, Wisconsin, they're competing very hard for business. Companies there are competing very hard, and states are competing very hard for manufacturing businesses to be able to compete in the world. I will say very quickly, and I don't want to go on too long, but I will say very quickly that one of the things you learn when you go up that corridor north of Milwaukee toward Green Bay, Oshkosh, and Appleton is, there's a lot of manufacturing in Wisconsin right there along the lake as well. So I'm really excited to be going into the Great Lakes region. Now, we are part of the Great Lakes region here in Minnesota, not necessarily in southern and central Minnesota, but certainly in the northern part of the state. The lake has a lot to do with the history of the state of Minnesota and the kind of people that live here, and the fact that it became economically viable largely because of lake traffic. You know, the whole Edmund Fitzgerald thing going back to the 1830s and 1840s and 1850s. So it's a pretty cool part of the country to tour. You just don't want to tour it in the winter. You know, you want to tour it at a perfect time like this. So I'm really, really excited about that. Now, one more thing I want to talk about. So I do believe that the color and maybe even the big story is going to be outside the convention hall, not inside the convention hall. They're going to be doing things to get attention because they want the big media to come out. And, of course, out in within this exclusion zone around the arena is a whole bunch of media trucks. So that's where all the media trucks are. That's where I suppose I would be if I was able to get credentials. They can very easily send a crew out into the street to do this. And the thing I noticed, certainly it was true in Iowa, you know, you'll see TV crews standing on the corner just grabbing people and talking to them because that's what they do these days. There isn't really much investigative reporting. There aren't many journalists who are sitting down and pouring through documents and finding out information and crafting news stories unless they work for the LA Times or the New York Times. As much as some people hate it, at least they have a newsroom and they have people working on stories. Hate it in some quarters, or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post that has a reporting staff, and they'll be there, and their reporting staffs will be there, and they'll be working their sources. And of course, you know, columnists and people who are on the inside will be working their sources. I believe a lot of those people are also biased, and that they are also I just stepped on a rock, and I'm in my bare feet. They're also practicing, to a certain degree, advocacy journalism, which I think advocacy media and journalism is one of the biggest problems in this country. So I entitled this podcast Unbound because... the big story at the Republican National Convention is going to be, are they going to dump Trump? And my sources tell me that the Unbound people, and I'm going to explain this in a second, believe that they have enough votes to deny Trump a victory on the first ballot. And with some rule changes, it's possible that there could be, that the big story coming out of this convention could be that the Republicans do not nominate Trump. I don't know if that's going to happen. I've talked about that. I have said they're going to try and dump him, and I still believe that they are. They may yet close ranks around him. Just as I'm speaking, you know, there's a new Quinnipiac poll that shows Trump in the battleground states in a very close race with Hillary Clinton. I believe this is going to be a close race, regardless of who's nominated, because I don't think that Clinton is a real strong candidate for the Democrats. It's funny because I had a conversation with a Democrat friend today, and she was like, well, you know, this is what it is. We just have to support our candidate, and we're going to. And I'm telling you that there's the same kinds of divisions on the Democrat side as there are on the Republican side, maybe even worse on some, you know, among some groups. And they don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't like the establishment in the Democratic Party. The only problem with that is, of course, she's not far left enough for that group. So we're talking about a very, very far left political group in the Democratic Party. But there is the same dissatisfaction with establishment politics in the mainline parties. Most people I know are very disappointed with the Libertarian ticket. They feel that they've missed a lot of opportunities to talk about, the fact that government overreaches in the last few weeks with given a number of these incidences, and they're not thrilled with the Libertarians. And then finally, there is this question in the Republican Party of whether or not delegates are bound or unbound. Now, I said a long time ago, my view of it was that delegates were button men, that they were selected to vote for candidates on the basis of the primaries in their state. And I guess I was wrong about that. You know, I think I mentioned that in one of the podcasts that delegates are essentially representatives, and they can vote any way that they want. At least that's the big fight right now. And the reason I entitled the podcast Unbound is this is the Unbound movement. An individual has written a book that basically lays out the case for delegates going back to the 1800s being unbound and being able to vote their conscience. But the candidacy of Gerald Ford forced the passing of, I believe it's Rule 16, that explicitly states that the delegates have to vote according to their state delegation, something to that effect. And I don't want to sound stupid, and I'm not editing, and I didn't sit down and do a lot of research before this podcast. But then Trump put out a press release yesterday that said that he had just won a court case in Virginia, which throws that out, and the chief witness was the guy who wrote the book. This is why I caution people, because all of my friends are posting this guy saying delegates are unbound. Delegates are unbound. So now suddenly it's delegates. It used to be delegates have to vote by state law. They have to vote according to the distribution of delegates, to the candidates in the state's primaries in some states, and it's governed by state law. Well, this guy says it's not governed by state law at all, that the state has no, that courts have decided going back, I'm trying to remember when this decision would have been, was some years ago, a court decided that states do not have a check on federal elections, in other words, elections of presidents. That's his opinion. And this is why I don't read these current political books, because sometimes they fall apart very quickly. Now, I'm not saying it's fallen apart, but the Trump thing is basically saying that a judge decided in Virginia, and we'll see what happens if it's appealed or whatever, that this individual that wrote this book, and I can't remember his name, so I'm not going to attempt to give you his name. Most people who listen know this. They know what I'm talking about. They didn't find any basis in his analysis. So now it's all about this Rule 16, which apparently sunsets before the 2016 convention. But if the Rules Committee decides to reinforce it reintroduce it or repass it again, then Rule 16 will be in effect. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do with that. But it's the thing that was interesting to me about this was, so I've seen I don't know how many posts about unbound delegates and how delegates are unbound and they can do whatever they want and they can vote their conscience, because there's a big movement in the Republican Party right now to vote their conscience and not vote for Trump if they don't want to. And that is being buoyed by two groups. One is the Ted Cruz group, but then I think the establishment also really doesn't want to nominate. I don't think the establishment wants to nominate Donald Trump as the candidate, and there's so much to this, but the recent poll results, there's a disparity right now between national polls and individual state polls. If the Quinnipiac poll is any indication, then what's starting to happen is that the state races are starting to fill in and look more like the national polls. He does better in national polls than he does in state by state polls, and so if it starts to fill in, that's going to really help his case. In terms of the Republicans. But I think there's going to be kind of a fight in the party at the convention, which you'll just have to watch on television. I don't think that I can advance that very much. So the thing that was interesting to me about this, and very quickly, so I posted, people are posting about, Unbound, and there's all these comments about the Unbound thing. I posted Donald Trump's press release. And I haven't looked at it in the last few hours, but I posted Donald Trump's press release. Usually when I post something, I get a few comments. I don't really care if people comment on Facebook or not. It means nothing to me. But I laughed because nobody wants to hear, and this is exactly the point of this podcast, nobody wants to hear something they don't want to hear. They just want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear that the delegates are now suddenly unbound and they can do whatever they want. And I'm just going to say this. So, millions of people in this country voted in the primaries. It certainly is a representative sample of the electorate, whether it's Democrat or Republican, for the most part. Okay? If you think that the delegates are going to go to Cleveland and ignore all of the primary voters and dump Trump, which they may do, they better have a real good reason for doing that. Because, you know, what they're doing is they're ignoring the popular electorate. Now, I understand, and I've said many times, you're not selecting a president in the primary vote. But if they end up nominating someone else, and I think that there's a very good chance that they'll nominate Ryan and Rubio, we'll see, or some sort of unity ticket, and I wouldn't rule out Jeb Bush. I wouldn't rule out, you know, I don't trust Newt Gingrich as far as I can spit, and I don't trust any of those establishment Republicans as far as I can spit. And if you're a Trump supporter, this is something you have to watch out for. But anyway, I don't think that they're going to just ignore the millions and millions of people that voted for Donald Trump in these primary elections, especially the ones when you consider places like New Jersey and New York and Florida, you know, places that he wasn't supposed to win that he did. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Republican supporter. I'm not a Democrat supporter. I'm not a Libertarian supporter. I am convinced that our political system has absolutely whiffed in this particular election season. None of these candidates are going to do what needs to get done. And I don't know if what needs to get done actually can be done. I think we suffer from a surfeit of information and a complete lack of knowledge and perspective and wisdom when it comes to politics in this country today. People don't know what to do. They don't know how to organize. They don't know how to make things happen in their communities. They just want what they want. I've said it all. I'm not going to keep saying it. And I think the political system has produced two candidates who are really tepid at best. I think Trump is a terrible choice for the Republicans, and I think Hillary Clinton is a terrible choice for the Democrats. And by the way, I'm not a supporter of any of the other candidates that were, you know, potential nominees in either of the two parties either. I'm sorry, but Ted Cruz is not, you know, I saw the man probably more on the campaign trail than anyone else, and I was very unimpressed with him. For a lot of reasons, which I've outlined at various times in these podcasts. So I'm not happy with any of the candidates. And I'm kind of unbound myself in this election. I'm kind of sitting it out in that respect and looking for the human interest and looking for the trend, because we're going to end up with a president. I don't know which one it's going to be. And I don't even know whether the Republicans are going to nominate Trump right now. And we're going to have to figure out what the next step is, all of us together, in a very, very difficult time in American history. So those are my thoughts on the eve of getting into Mobile Podcast Command and heading out to the Upper Peninsula. And the next couple of podcasts are just going to be fun travel podcasts, and I am so looking forward to that. And then we'll get back into it when we get to Cleveland. Once again, if you're planning a client appreciation event this summer, don't forget brushstudio.net. They're the people that can put together a great event for you to show appreciation to your clients at Brush Studio. Click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. It takes you to brushstudio.net. You can see video that shows what a great, diverse, fun thing this is. Or you can call them at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. And of course, thanks once again to xgovernmentcars.com for Mobile Podcast Command. They are celebrating the grand reopening of their location in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. They got the Chevys, they got the Fords, they got the SUVs, they've got the work trucks, and they got them at good prices. Expeditions, Yukons, as well as the Crown Vics while they last, and the Ford Police Sedans, and the Chargers, and Impalas. If you need a car, you need a loan, and you have a job, you are approved. You can push it, pull it, drag it in if you have a trade, and they pay the highest values every day without all the bull. Get your butt down to X Government Cars at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the grand reopening. xgovernmentcars.com, 763-777-8782. xgovernmentcars.com. Well, thanks for listening to podcast 524 as we listen to The Wind in the Trees, the Bob Davis podcasts. And we are headed out in Mobile Podcast Command, headed for the first, as I said, the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, then Cleveland, and then, of course, the air show at EAA, the EAA air show at Oshkosh. And I am there for Alpha Systems. Alpha Systems will be there displaying the award-winning, hopefully, the award-winning and revolutionary angle of attack indicator. This is the company that started the angle of attack revolution. Hundreds, over 100,000 private pilots in America. Not all of them understand why they would want to have something like this on their plane's dashboard. The bottom line is it saves lives because you get a visual indicator of your angle of attack, especially when you turn on final approach. So check them out at EAA if you're going. Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's FAA approved, and they want to get it into your plane's package now. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Can't wait to get to the air show and see you guys. If you do get to the air show, if you're a pilot and you get a chance to find Alpha Systems, I think they're going to be in Building 2 or 3. You got to see Mark Korn in action if you if you get the chance. So thanks, Alpha Systems for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis podcasts. Now, I don't like asking for contributions for Mobile Podcast Command. I do, as a matter of course, almost by rote in the podcasts. But I just want to say, you know, when I hit the road, usually I start to get donations from people, and sometimes it's $5, and sometimes it's $200, and it's amazing when it happens. And I'm very, very proud of the fact that a lot of these trips and the vehicle itself was crowdfunded by people that were really interested in helping me get this vehicle. And it's changed the podcast. It's changed my life, and I'm very grateful for the donations. All you have to do is click on the yellow donate button. It takes you to PayPal, and you can make a donation, and I don't care how much or how little it is. It's just definitely appreciated. And then every now and then I do a list from the people who've contributed. This is going to be a great trip, so thanks in advance, and thank you for listening to the Bob Davis podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast radio show on GCNLive.com, as well as AM 12 the Patriot in Minneapolis. Maybe I'll have to stop at a couple of little radio stations on the way, maybe in Detroit, and see if I can get them to put the show on. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 524.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on.
Guy from Chicago.
Hang on.
So dance o samba, so dance o samba. Vai, 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 vai. So dance o samba, so dance o samba. Vai. So dance o samba, so dance o samba. Vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai. Já dancei o twist até demais, mas não sei, me cansei do calypso ao tchá-tchá-tchá. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai. Mm-hmm.